Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you in what, week 11 or 12 of the lockdown era of the WrestleTalk podcast?
I read an article this morning about Boris Johnson having said in 12 weeks we can turn this all around, and they published that this week, which means I think it was 12 weeks ago, but who really knows? I just know it in terms of pay-per-view cycles.
Well, yeah, and this will be our, fourth pay-per-view now?
So if we're going strictly by WWE ones, obviously WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, and Backlash. So yes. That's three.
Yeah.
So and then 12 weeks makes sense.
Yeah. But we've also done Double or Nothing 2 in there as well. Quadruple or Nothing.
Takeover. Takeover in our houses.
It was, and we were all in our houses together. At least, you know, some of us were. Some of us need to get eye tests done. But yeah, we'll need to dive into this AEW podcast because say it ain't so. There's a trouble a brewing in the inner circle, it would seem. Here is the show.
Can't believe you threw right into that without letting me sing the rest of the song. But to kick off, we will be talking about Sammy Guevara, who we've said, you know, for about since the start of the year, really, that we think there is a slight bit of tension being built between Jericho and Sammy. It is so, so, so subtle. Nothing has ever come out. But sometimes Jericho will just say, no, that's not the right thing to do, Sammy. Or why didn't you get a better platter? You've given it to Mike Tyson.
Or it's been things like Sammy has worked slightly babyface in some of his matches and things like that. But they've also, you know, they've been doing a lot of stuff with the Sex Gods. But now it's starting to almost feel like it's bubbling up to the surface and you've got commentators talking about it. And now you've got, because like one of the beautiful things about this is that the inner circle has got various, you know, it's got Jericho, it's got Hager, it's got Proud and Powerful, and it's got Sammy. But the Jericho and Sammy relationship is the Owens and Jericho relationship from Raw a few years ago. There's just some other background players to this. So that's the one that's really key to this. So while there are five members of the inner circle, crucially, there's two key members, and that is Jericho and Sammy.
Yeah, it's that cardboard cutout, isn't it? That picture of them both hugging each other with the over-the-top gleeful looks on their faces. And that's, you know, I bet as soon as Jericho saw that image, he was like, huh. We should break up eventually.
I would wager it's been in the plans since before Dynamite started. Like this was their first storyline that they'd mapped out.
Totally agree. Jericho's putting together his faction. He's got Hager, the former WWE guy, the muscle. He's got Santana and Ortiz, the tag team. Who's the young guy who I'm ultimately going to put over at the end of all of this? It's Sammy Guevara. And what a great choice. For my money, we'll talk about the developments on this show so far. But yes, it is now being sort of addressed in the universe of AEW, as opposed to just little nuggets and teasers here and there. I don't think this is a thing that's going to pay off, hopefully, for 6 months.
No, I think it would be a while. I mean, I said, I think it was on the last AEW stream, I said, I wonder if the match are all out, you know, because they're teasing Jericho Tyson, right? Like, that's one of the things they're really building to. I wonder now if it's Jericho Sammy at All Out with Tyson as the enforcer, or Tyson in Sammy's corner, and you can have Sammy beat Jericho, and then you end off that segment with Tyson knocking Jericho out.
Maybe. You could do that way. I don't really know how you get to that point, because I was kind of always into the idea of a Kevin Owens Jericho match eventually in that whole storyline. I can't see myself. Sammy's such a good heel. I can't yet see him as a babyface, even though he works really well as a babyface in his matches sometimes.
We've still got a few months to get to All Out yet, because that's in August, right? So we've still got 2 months worth of story to be told yet. And then, you know, 3 months, effectively, depending how early you do it in August. So there's still, I agree with you. I still very much see him. It'd be like trying to turn MJF, not quite to the same degree, but like, I couldn't see an MJF babyface turn at this point yet, even if you did start doing some teasers for it now. So yeah, I still think we need some time with Sammy, but like, planting those seeds with Matt Hardy coming out, particularly because, like, and this is the fun part of this, is that, so Sammy had a match with Colt Cabana, which we'll talk about in the actual full review, because there was two storylines running concurrently in that match. But after the match, Matt Hardy came out, and it was, I think this was version one Matt. So he kind of looked like, yes, no, it was version one Matt, because Team Extreme Matt came out later with Private Party. So,
and he had the Matt facts.
And he had the Matt facts on screen. But I wasn't sure if he started out as Team Extreme Matt, then changed into V1 Matt, because he then changed in their same promo. I wasn't sure if he did like three changes. Either way, Matt showed some, you know, some graphics on screen. So you've got Team Extreme Matt and version one Matt, who were trying to help Sammy, trying to be the respectable veteran who are trying to help the younger talent, trying to guide this man away from the bad man. But Matt also has Damascus, broken Matt Hardy, who doesn't like Sammy Guevara and is currently feuding with him. So Matt is trying to help him while also feuding with him at the same time, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is fun. I it's like, I love the idea of Matt Hardy's amazingly creative brain. And sometimes it ends up popping me to degrees that very few things do. But when he transitioned from V1 Matt Hardy into Broken Matt Hardy out there live, so he just kind of ducked his head and then came back up again and went, yes, to become Broken. I had one of those moments where I was just like, I hope no one walks in on me watching this right now. You know, I think that's the mark of when something doesn't work. And yeah. I don't like to say it out loud, because I like Matt Hardy a lot. But this is a very ambitious character he's doing. He's doing three now, you know, as if the Broken Hardy character wasn't big enough as it is. And we both said, you know, we like the idea of leaning more into that fractured persona, a sort of schizophrenic version of Matt Hardy. But now I'm seeing it play out. The sort of benchmark for this is Mick Foley and those three faces. It was a bigger deal. I think he handled the transitions between characters far more effectively, because they weren't done as much, maybe. And when they did happen, they were kind of at the climax of a large bit of action, as opposed to mid-promo.
So what you're saying is you hate Matt Hardy, you hate this dumb gimmick, and you just think it's a big pile of garbage?
I'm sure that's what the clip version will be titled.
It's what the comments will think you said.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it's a hot take to say Matt Hardy's gimmick is divisive. It's just, I wish I could.
do you remember when I said this? Do you remember like they did the first Woken Matt Hardy match in WWE and I was like, yeah, it was fine. Do you remember that? Do you remember how much hate I got for saying it was good?
What's more frustrating to me is I can't make up my own mind because sometimes I really enjoy it. Other times I'm like, oh, I don't like this at all. So I'm like, what do I feel?
Well, I mean, I've talked about this before on the show when I was like, you know, I would, I've been using sort of my friend Tom as this sort of like hypothetical lapsed fan that you could show. And he's a real person, but you know, he's expressed an interest in getting back. And there have been times where I've been watching AEW and like last week's episode's a great example where I'm like, yeah, this is the episode you do want to show to a new fan because it's so engaging. And it's a good benchmark for being like, this is just a consistently good show throughout. There's nothing in there makes you go like, oh, what's this? Or that was crap. It's just solidly good. But there have been times where you've had those solidly good episodes of AEW and then Matt Hardy does something that like, you know, Vanguard One pops in or and you're like, yeah, this might be a bit of a, this is a shutting door moment for those new fans to be like, nah, there's probably a reason I did walk away from wrestling.
It's an incognito browser opening moment. We all know what those are. To get back on track, I guess, though, is, yeah, like you said, Matt, version one Matt was kind of trying to preach to Sammy, say, get rid of Jericho. You could be so much better without him. And on the rest of the show, Jericho was on commentary for most of it. He was off commentary for this match because he beat down Orange Cassidy and the one preceding it. But the Inner Circle did have a presence on the show. But Sammy wasn't always with them.
Yeah. And I think they're doing a very nice job, and they've done a very nice job since, you know, Sammy turned heel on the first episode of Dynamite to join forces with Jericho. So we are months and months into this story that they've been telling. And we're to get to this point now, we're only just starting to sow some possible seeds of doubt in Sammy. You could run this for another year, or you could do it all out. And I don't think either one is rushed, and I don't think the other one is too overlong. I think they've played this very, very well. And I'm really excited to see, like, yeah, I'm kind of stoked to see babyface Sammy Guevara. Because he has a literal babyface. So I'm curious to see how that actually works when you put it on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I think something recent times has taught us was, if you look like a babyface, you're going to be best as a heel in this modern day and age. The thing I would say is, if Sammy turns babyface, I want Darby to turn like mega heel and have that as one of the eternal feuds where they're kind of the Batman Joker, always on opposite ends of the morality spectrum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
let's say thank you to all you wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. There's a new graphic right there. That's where you can become a pledge hammer and not just get all of our exclusive podcast content, which includes me and Luke reviewing New Japan Dominion 2018, the one with the actual greatest match of all time, Backlash, of Omega versus Okada 4, that will be going up sometime in the next week. Not only will you get to compete against us in Wrestle League matches, not only are you about to have your name read out right now, but we've also got a new reward for $50 a month or more backers. You get an exclusive Pledge Hammer t-shirt.
Oh, and you know me. I love a t-shirt.
I want a t-shirt. Yes. So for the $25 a month or more backers now, you gotta up it to the 50. Then you can get that t-shirt. You're a wizard, Harry Burgess.
Yes, and you get a cheap pop at the $25 level. The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Thank you. Robocop.
Oh, yes. He's part man, part machine, all pledge hammer. Sayonara, Kaney Grant.
Thank you, Kaney or Chaney. The monster among Patreons, Brian Strowman.
Roar. Caught in a Travis Webb.
Thank you. The five-time champ, Ryan T.
Oh, five-time. The baddest boy, Joey Gianella.
So bad. The Vision, Adonis.
Oh, what a vision. Fug Life, Andreas Fugliestlia.
Fugliestlia.
I might have butchered that.
Joseph Starsky and McCutcheon.
Oh, yeah, nice. It sounds a bit like Hutch. I guess. I think he's talking to you, Damian Thompson.
Thank you very much. And of course, as always, our moderators, full of Modichlorians. Mod Mother Jenna says she's lost internet. She's back. It's okay. She's mother of the mods. And anyone else who's in the chat, Matt Menick, Bill, Tomo, Bumhead Rob, all the usual crew. Shall we get into some super chats for people's thoughts on this?
Indeed.
So Colostopia says, Archer, Spears, FTR faction. What if Hangman turns on the Elite and Inner Circle turns on Jericho? So we get Inner Circle with Hangman versus the Elite and Jericho.
Hold on.
A lot of moving parts there.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on. Right. So actually Jericho's the one that turns babyface out of all of this, and he joins forces with the Elite, and Hangman Page turns heel on the Elite and joins forces with the Inner Circle. I was just trying to work out, only because at the start of this, we had the Archer, Spears and FTR faction. I was like, how do they factor into all of this?
Just separate faction. All the factions. I don't like that at all, I'm afraid, Colostopia. I think Jericho... that wouldn't work well for Jericho. Page, when he splits from the Elite, I think works far better as a Lone Ranger kind of badass tweener force. Patel Ron 6. My favorite line from Jericho yesterday was Hager is beating up a 15-year-old version of himself when Hager was beating up Orange Cassidy.
It's very good. Yeah, so Jericho was on commentary for like the first half of this show and was, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, as always.
Mm. Kotick Punk.
You're right. I thought it might be chaotic, but yes, I think it is Kotick.
It's Kotick Punk. I want a scenario where after Sammy turns babyface, he will actually start winning and build to a TNT championship run.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of it. You know, the story they were telling with Sammy on this show is that he hasn't had a win in quite some time. And maybe turning babyface will be that thing that really kickstarts his career again. And go for a TNT championship. I think that's really good.
Well, he picked up a win here, though. So hopefully that storyline is kicked into the long grass in a good way and they can revisit it later. And finally, for now, on the subject of Sammy as a babyface, Dylan from Cork.
Hey, Dylan.
Babyface Sammy versus MJF would be a fantastic feud.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I just can't imagine Sammy's humor working in a non-annoying heel way. So I just can't imagine those promos. So, last night's episode of AEW Dynamite opened with the... I really like these opening video recap packages. They don't just pick on one view. They sort of summarize everything that happened last week.
Yes, and this was, you know, it was talking about Mox versus Cage, which is the big match for Fyter Fest next month. FTR making their in-ring debut this week. Jericho versus Cassidy, because they're building that as a long-term story. And highlights of Cody versus Jungle Boy. So it's like, you know, tell you, these are the matches you want to see tonight, because the TNT Championship means so much to Cody. And, you know, he's going to be defending. He's already building some stars. Who's he going to be building tonight?
Definitely. And we kicked off after Jericho joined the commentary booth. I thought four announcers was too much.
Yeah, it was perhaps. Yeah, because some of them just had to go quiet for a bit. I felt like Schiavone just went silent effectively, you know, just chimed in when needed. But four announcers, I think a three-man announce booth at a wrestling show can sometimes be a bit much, often can be a bit much. But four-man is definitely too much.
Yeah, especially with how big Jericho is as a character. There's no room for a third and fourth people on that team. And I didn't enjoy this combination as much as I enjoyed the lockdown versions when it was just Jericho and Schiavone. But this was all for FTR's debut match, kicked off the show. It was against Butcher and the Blade. It is so weird seeing them work babyface.
It really was, although, I mean, I've got here in my notes, FTR arrive in their truck, and then in all caps, I just love them. I am such a mark for formerly The Revival, now FTR. I've always been a mark for this team, and it's so lovely seeing them here in AEW and just being like, and this isn't even the best version of themselves yet. Like, and I love the fact that we're waiting for that Bucks FTR match, because that screams All Out. Like, that has to be a big time All Out match, hopefully in front of that big crowd as well. I'm so happy to see them here. And then by the end of this match, when you had a lot of the tag team standing in the ring, I'm like, hot damn, AEW has the best tag division in the world.
Yeah, the Young Bucks came down after FTR quite easily beat the Butcher and the Blade in the end with a assisted spike pile driver. And the Young Bucks come out and sort of say, hey, I thought Matt cut a great promo here. He was like, we didn't get a chance to introduce ourselves last week. We're the best tag team in the world. We've done this. Nice to meet you. Yeah, it's like a really aggressive politeness.
Yeah, we've been carrying tag team wrestling for the last 20 years. I thought it was real, because this is what their feud has always been about. Like, their feud on social media was, you know, there's team, the Young Bucks, always being awarded the best tag team on the planet awards, and FTR sitting there being like, yeah, but I think we are. Like, and so, and I, that's why I loved the promo last week. That's why I'm super excited for the match that they're gonna have. Two notes that I had from the match itself. I love them doing the draping DDT as a tribute to Randy Orton. Like, we, you know, it's come out, you know, since that Randy Orton was one of those guys that was really pushing for the Revival to get more TV time on WWE, but for whatever reason, the higher ups just didn't get them as a team and never put them out there.
And hashtag leg slap for that.
So, no flips, just fists. Of course, Randy likes them. rest holds. I think it's quite lovely for them to add in the draping DDT to their arsenal. The other thing I really liked about this as well is that they cut to the crowd at one point, and in the crowd, you've got Arn Anderson watching, you've got Tully Blanchard watching, and you've got Jake Roberts watching. The three big legends, old school legends that they've got in AEW, who have, you know, in kayfabe world, have all taken their time out to go sit in the stands and watch FTR wrestle, because they're fans of their old school mentality. It's one of the things that people have always, like, legend have always said about the Revival, is we like the Revival because they're old school wrestlers, and it's the style that we did, so therefore we like it.
I totally agree. I think all of that was great. I like their, we're just going to drive up entrance as well in their car. If I'm being hypercritical though, I wasn't blown away by this at all.
Oh no, it was a perfect, it was a standard match.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Until the end angle, the post-match angle, where we got that standoff between the champions, the Bucks and FTR. Spine-tingling stuff. But this is their first match on Dynamite. And the majority of it was the Butcher and the Blade working over I believe it was Cash. Yeah, Cash Wheeler. Yeah. So I'm just, I'm kind of thinking of all the people who didn't watch that 18 months of NXT, who really don't know how good the Revival are and how good they can be. Was this the best use of them? Should they have been booked as gray tweeners going against the heel team? Or should they have been booked against someone like a Private Party that they can dominate and really get over the threat? I think looking back, I would have preferred that. I get why you want to do a Shades of Grey approach. But yeah, if I'm being hypercritical, yeah, I don't think it's the most effective.
And I don't think you're wrong on that. Absolutely don't think you're wrong.
After that, we got a quick bit backstage. Ali, speaking of the Butcher and the Blade, the Bunny is now with QT Marshall as part of their dark storyline. And
it just screams dark story, doesn't it?
And the Nightmare Family are sort of like, why is she here? Why has she got a Nightmare Family jacket? It's all quite transparent that she's a plant in some kind of way. They've got a tag match against Omega and Paige next week.
Because why? Yeah, I mean, we've gone over the rankings thing before. They're not the number one ranked tag team. They shouldn't be getting these shots.
I also don't know what the situation is in the women's division, because just when you think they're going to start having a story, they decide to not use that person the next week and do something else. So last week we saw Nyla Rose beat Big Swole. Big Swole seemed to be getting a bit of momentum going behind her. And this week was just a good, but ultimately very episodic tag match between Penelope Ford and Nyla Rose against Chris Statlander and women's champion Shida.
Do you know how low the standards have become for the AEW women's tag division? The women's division. I actually had a message from on Twitter this morning from someone who said, like, hey, it wasn't a lot, but at least it felt like this was moving forward. Like, that's how low our standards have become for AEW's women's division, where it's like, because they do something that sort of resembles a story, we're like, oh, I think they've figured it out. I don't know why this company can't figure it out. I don't know why they can't book their women into storylines. They just go out there and just have matches that mean nothing. And like, and it's, do you know what? I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off because I just thought of something else then. But they released the rankings, like, you know, before an episode of Dynamite goes out. And basically everyone in the women's ranking have all got like equal numbers. They are literally 50-50 booking the women's division.
Yeah. And as we know, that means nobody really gets over. There isn't anything left to say on this. We've said it all. They made this a huge part of their pre-launch campaign. We're going to have the best women's division in the world. They didn't think about that hard enough because WWE made that impossible because they signed everyone. But even then, they managed to get a really good roster and they made characters out of a lot of the people there. But they just haven't done anything with them. And every time we think, oh, maybe this is something. Oh, maybe they're going to start treating them seriously now. Next week, there's nothing. We're on to something else. It's bad. It's bad. And don't let the like in-ring, good, fast-paced wrestling distract you. Overall, this is the worst part of AEW by a long shot. As a bit of content and also largely as a company.
And it sucks as well because coming off the back of Double or Nothing, that Shida Rose match was the match that a lot of people were talking about as like, you know, possible match of the night because it was so, so great. Like on any other show, that might have been the best match on the card. Just so happened to be on the same match, the same card where you had Moxley and Lee and the Stadium Stampede.
And what's more frustrating is that we've had that conversation twice before with Rhea and Nyla Rose. When Nyla Rose won the belt from Rhea on that episode of Dynamite, we said the same stuff. Oh, here's the thing now. This is where it's going to pick up now. Nothing happened. Granted, there was a pandemic during that time, but everything else managed to get good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, but why hasn't the women's division? You know, I love AEW. I hold it to very high standards and they consistently let us down.
Do you know what? I'm going to put this out there. This is pure speculation on my part. Massive, massive speculation on my part. But I think it's quite a damning indictment of AEW's women's division that Deonna Purrazzo went to Impact and not AEW. Like, you know, that is someone who has gone from NXT, who, you know, had some choices. I don't know if she had calls with AEW. I have no idea. But she went to Impact, where they are treating their women's division with much more respect and are doing really, really good stuff with them. And I think if you are a wrestler and you look at the sort of your options of the companies that are still doing tapings, I'd probably be going to Impact as well, despite the fact you're not going to get as much exposure. At least you can go down there and make something of yourself.
You're totally right. I didn't even think of Impact, but their world champion is Tessa Blanchard right now. I know there's the Moose controversy, but we won't get into that. We said it on the Raw review, WWE are doing the best women's wrestling of any major promotion in the world right now. And that's, you know, that's, I had AEW as in second place in my head, but really, if you break it down, it's Raw, then it's NXT, then it's probably Impact, then it's Raw, then it's SmackDown, then it's AEW.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really damning. What happened there was Penelope Ford used the title behind the referee's back, pinned Sheeta for the win.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will be slightly followed up on eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's the match we get at Fyter Fest.
However, next up, we got Darby Allin in black and white trying out a skateboard trick watched on by Tony Hawk.
I mean, do you know what? I hope Darby Allin is a playable character in the Tony Hawk's reboot that's coming out in a couple of months. Like, that's some great exposure there for Darby and AEW as a brand.
I want the opposite. I want the inverse of that. When AEW's wrestling video game comes out, I want there to be an option where you can use the skateboard as a weapon and you can get on it and do tricks around the arena.
Yeah. I mean,
imagine grinding along the barricade and then hitting a clothesline.
Either way works for me. Absolutely either way works for me. But this was, Darby Allin did a video with Tony Hawk that basically his gimmick that he's running at the moment is that AEW aren't clearing him medically to wrestle, but he doesn't give an F. And that's not, he doesn't live his life by doctor's notes and things like that. So like he posted a video on social media of him jumping off a balcony at a hotel into a swimming pool. And here he is trying to land a skateboard, I think it was an ollie he was trying to do, off a ladder onto a ramp. And you watched him fail over and over again. And he's hitting the floor hard as well. Like, you know, if you're telling the storyline that he is not medically cleared, he's not doing himself any favors to make the doctors think that he's fine. And then he finally hits it. And I thought this was a terrific bit of character work for Darby. And like all of these videos that he does are terrific bits of character work for him.
And it was done very subtly because there was no build up of Tony Hawk. There was nothing like that. It wasn't gratuitously replayed over and over again like another company might do. So I appreciated the subtleness of this cameo. I always used to think Tony Hawk's name was Tony Hawk's because of... because of his video game. Hawk's. You going to play Tony Hawk's?
I used to work at Game Station when I was in Portsmouth during my university years, and a guy once came in and said, "Have you got that Tom Hanks skateboarding game?"
Life is like a skateboard.
So it was always referenced as Tom Hanks skateboarding, and like it's all of the various characters that he's played over the years as playable characters.
Oh, that's beautiful. We got Britt Baker next. It's similar to Darby. She's obviously not cleared right now, so they're just keeping the plate spinning. This was kind of more of a talking head intercut with footage as opposed to the really inventive stuff we got last week. The best thing about all of this was how Chris Jericho introduced it. JR does the long spiel, given the history of Britt Baker, what she's going through right now, what we're about to see, and it's just a second before it's about to cut. Jericho yells, "Promo!" I bust a gut laughing this morning when I watched that.
I really liked Baker's lines where she talks about how Big Swole keeps talking about all the struggles that she's had. Hey, I've also had struggles. I had to do exams that I didn't study for.
After that, we got, speaking of Jericho, we got the Inner Circle represented by Hager, Santana and Ortiz taking on the Best Friends in a 6-man tag.
So at the start of this show, when FTR had their match with Butcher and Blade, and then the Young Bucks came out, and then Hangman Page and Kenny Omega, the tag champs, came out, and Havoc and Kip Sabian came out as well. They were part of that sort of like frisson at the start of the show. And I was like, I mean, my note literally is like, man, what a stacked tag division this company has got. And then you get to hear there are other tag teams that could also, that are part of that division, including Proud and Powerful, who are still have not had that chance to really shine in this company yet. And the Best Friends. And then later on in the show, in Private Party, I'm like, there's another tag team. And lest we forget, the Lucha Brothers are also part of this company because Phoenix is out with an injury and Pentagon can't get into the country. But and Dark Order was also on this show. What? It's the greatest tag team division in the world.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's like the tag division's better than the singles division. Really, they did say, you know, they didn't deliver on the women's division promise, but they did keep saying we're going to make tag wrestling the best. And yeah, they have.
Yeah.
This match was really good, really fun. Orange Cassidy won in the end after a hot tag, or as I said in my news today, a lukewarm tag. Name of your wrestler, Luke.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, mate.
And he sort of used a low effort pinning combination to get the win. I really like the post-match to this, where the Inner Circle do the standard heel beatdown, but in one of, like, it's classic Jericho. This is like, this felt so 80s old school wrestling. He's got a 20-pound bag of oranges.
And the commentators just are putting over, like, how heavy those oranges must be.
Because you've got to, because when he got out the oranges, I was like, oh, it's a bit of a stupid weapon. As soon as they started saying, like, that's 20 pounds there that he's just throwing at his face. I'm like, well, that would hurt, though.
Yeah.
So great, great job by commentary. And I just, it's like Jericho's mentality here isn't so much to hurt the guy, although he did bust him open hard way. Not hard way, I think there was a blade job in there, because Jericho even said, he's been juiced. Yeah. It was more the humiliation aspect of it. I can beat you up with some oranges, which is your name.
Yeah, Blood Orange Cassidy. Very, very good. I thought that was very nice. Also going to give a shout out in this match to someone who was watching Quizzlemania last night, the designer of that Inner Circle Guns N' Roses t-shirt, Adam Berry. He was watching Quizzlemania last night and he got in touch with us. He put up a couple of designs and AEW purchased. He also did one of Cody's new t-shirts as well.
Quizzlemania, where the big boys come to play. Can he make us a t-shirt too?
I don't know. Adam Berry, can you make us a t-shirt? I'll get in touch with him.
Get in touch with machine. Him. We can have it like Adam Berry. We can do an all-in graphic and everything. then I can't remember who was doing the mic segment at ringside. But
it was Tony. It was Tony Schiavone.
But MJF grabbed the mic and started talking about how he's been undefeated for over a year now. And Billy, then he started to clash with the Gun Club at ringside, had this great line where he was like, you're just trying to get your kids jobs in the company. And they set up a match between them for next week.
Yes, which I've written here. Looks like we're going to get Billy Gunn versus Wardlow. But I was wrong. We're going to get Billy Gunn versus MJF, which actually is the better match, really. But yeah, this was one I enjoyed. So Tony's trying to interview Billy Gunn, you know, about the Gunn Club and what he's seeing here. And MJF walks up and says, now, Tony, do your best job and be a mic stand for me. Very good stuff.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I think Gunn versus MJF is a really smart bit of booking.
It's really smart. Really, Gunn, really smart.
Gunn's got the established name. He's enormous. It'll be a great win for MJF. Easy momentum, that is.
Totally.
We've already talked about the Sammy Guevara aspect of the following match, but there was an actual match with Colt Cabana here, who had his own storyline coming in. I was disappointed by the match. It's because I feel like I haven't been given my Colt Cabana fix yet in AEW. Because we all know the matches he can have. It's always like, you know, you see him do the moonsault, but they're always like half commercial breaks or over very quickly. So I'm hoping something bigger's in store in the future. But after the match, after Cabana lost, after a longer losing streak and Dark Order's repeated attempts over the last month to recruit him, the full Dark Order came out. And I was so excited to see Stu Grayson and Evil Uno there.
That is absolutely it, mate. So the Dark Order's music hits, and I'm like, okay, cool. Here comes Brody Lee and that other guy. But no, great. And like, I'm in all caps in my notes here. Uno and Grayson are back, and they stand in line. You've got Reynolds and the other lad in line with them. Ten, I think, was there. But like the Dark Order, sort of all the Dark Order standing in a row, and out comes Brody Lee with them. And it's the first time we've seen the Dark Order in full effect, and it looks awesome. Like, they look so cool.
It really, really does. And I am surprised, because you go back for the last 2.5 months, ever since Brody Lee debuted, I have been saying, well, what worries me about this is he was never the original leader, and we're going to get a sort of retrofitting compromise of what the Dark Order idea was supposed to be. We're now going to have Brody Lee's version of the Dark Order rather than the one that was organically built up from the start, even though that itself changed a few times. But seeing them all together, Stu Grayson's always looked pretty different from Evil Uno. Evil Uno's got his own cool look. And then you've got Mr. Brody Lee there as well with the minions, sorry, with the crawlers or creepers and the next level of recruits. I thought of L.I.J., you know, just the way they all mismatch in styles, but they also look like over-the-top anime comic book villains. I am pleasantly surprised, and I'm so happy I'm eating my words here. I think they look awesome, and I'm more into them than I've ever been.
Yeah, really. I totally agree. I thought they looked so, so cool. The other thing I wanted to add about that match as well is I really liked the finish of this in the way that it ties into the story that they've been telling with Colt. And I think actually the style of this match as well, that you're not, you know, you said you were, you because you want your Colt fix. I do think that's by design. I think because it feels like Colt is going through the motions. And the finish of this match was him going for the Chicago Skyline, but he was going for a reverse Chicago Skyline, which Excalibur was putting over his commentary. It was like, he very rarely does that. And he only ever does it as a last resort. And that's what led to him getting beat. So, yeah, I think a lot of this is by design, it's, you know, to build on Colt's losing streak to then join the Dark Order.
Yeah, well, hopefully so. Yeah, I'm not writing it off because time and time again in this Dark Order storyline, they've over-delivered on what my low expectations. So
I mean, yeah, they keep dropping all these marbles. Like the amount of times they've dropped the marbles with the Dark Order. Oh no, we've dropped all of them. They just keep picking them all back up. And you're like, oh, they picked them all back up again. They go, oh no, I've dropped them again. And they yeah, no, they've proven me wrong. And there's gonna be a time where I'm like, they're not gonna be able to pick up all those marbles. There's too many. Oh no, they have. They picked them up again.
Yeah, it's objectively, they are responsible for the most critically derided angle in AEW history. And look how awesome they are now.
I know.
AEW learns from their mistakes. Yeah, maybe, and after this,
maybe the Nightmare Collective could have gotten over. Maybe that could have worked.
I forgot about that.
I saw Luther and Mel at ringside, and I was like, oh, Mel is still here.
So Cabana, after that, follows them backstage and knocks on Brody Lee's dressing room door. So, after that, we got a Joey Janela sort of knocking back a few shots in a bar with a sort of noirish voiceover saying how he came to AEW to become a star, but it just hasn't happened for him. And he wanders the streets and he gets in a car with Sonny Kiss. So yes. I don't know if that's another tag team we're getting. Well,
I was going to say, they've been tagging on Dark for quite a while now, I believe.
Oh, I knew that.
Has that been pointed out to you already, is it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think they've been tagging on. I mean, I don't watch Dark, but I believe they have been tagging on there for quite some time.
So, yeah, I don't know what that means for Joey's character. Janela hasn't found his groove, unfortunately, which is a shame because he was one of the best things in the original All In. He was injured, of course. He was part of that terrific three-way at what was...
It was All Out last year, the Cracker Barrel Clash with Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc, yeah.
But he's very outspoken on Twitter. He's now doing a sort of, but I've lost it storyline, which, you know, to be honest, if you just kept on going into something and didn't tell me you had lost it, I wouldn't know. So I will see how this plays out. It was nicely filmed though. What was really good, though, was John Moxley cutting this crazy intense promo to Alex Marvez on Taz and Brian Cage. I thought this was terrific.
Yeah, he is pissed off that Brian Cage thinks he can beat him up. He's pissed off that Taz thinks Brian Cage can beat him up. And when he gets pissed off, it makes him more violent. Mox is a fantastic promo, man. He's so, so good. And do you know, there's a reason why his promos are so great is because you believe him.
Yes.
When he's saying this, I'm like, oh, I believe every single word that you're saying. It feels legit. I love him. I just think he's so, so great. And I'm actually really starting. I've been quite sort of quietly into this feud with Brian Cage. But this angle here really kind of pushed it over the edge for me to be like, okay, now actually I'm really into this feud, because Taz steps up and Taz cuts a wicked promo on John Moxley. And then from out of nowhere is like Hangman Page running down a football field. Brian Cage runs and attacks Moxley and just starts throwing him into this car. And like he does the thing where he goes to powerbomb him on the floor, and Taz is like, no, leave it. We've made our point. So instead he just picks him up and like spine busts or like power slams him into this car and shatters the windshield. I thought it was pretty rad. I thought it was a great angle.
Yeah. This is the first time they've touched. So nice progression there of Mox on commentary first week. Then they're in the ring, cutting a promo on each other. Now a parking lot brawl. Yeah. But I think you're quietly into this. It's a low-key sleeper burner, but actually real big main event match, hopefully. And speaking of main event, our main event for this episode was Cody Rhodes defending his TNT title against Private Party's Mark Quinn,
who is still selling the knee injury that he picked up a couple of weeks ago. And that's what led into the finish here. And I thought it was actually like, I thought Quinn's selling of his leg was really, really smart and really good, particularly when he's going to do his trios of dives. And what I love about that is the commentary putting over that's not the right thing to do. And the reason he's doing it is that it's the young inexperience. If you have got more years behind you, if you've got a bit more smarts about you, you'd realize, okay, well, my leg is knackered. I'm struggling to run. I'm struggling to stand. What I don't need to be doing now is three dives. But he's young and inexperienced, and he's in this main event against Cody for a title, and that inexperience is what cost him the match, essentially, because Cody just locks in that knee bar and Quinn has to tap out. He beat himself effectively. But it doesn't damage Cody, because Cody looked great in the match. Cody looks also super ring smart, because he's the one who was targeting that weakness. And once again, you've kind of built another, you've done a raising the stock. I'm not saying you built a star, but you've raised the stock of Mark Quinn. Great. That's what this TNT championship should be all about. I really, really like that.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you've said. It wasn't of the level of the Jungle Boy match last week, but it doesn't have to be. You got over Mark Quinn. You further established in the viewers' minds that every week they're going to get a pretty damn decent match from Cody. And what I didn't appreciate until now with this storyline is that it's also got a secondary purpose of every week Cody does this, it's almost like he's running the gauntlet and he's the guy who's in there at number one. And even though he's technically what's the opposite of the underdog? The top dog.
The overdog.
The overdog. He is slowly going to become the underdog in these matches, because his injuries are going to compound. He's doing these matches every single week, whereas his competitors are coming at it fresh. We got the... I didn't love the post-match to this.
No.
Maybe it's because it just wasn't as good as other endings have been, or maybe it's because how much I'm invested into Hager has a limit. But it was Hager coming out at the end and pushing over Arn, which was a nice touch. That's some easy heat, really. And then brawling with Cody. This brought out Private Party. And Matt Hardy, who's still their mentor. I love that. Team Extreme Matt Hardy. That was a good use of Matt.
Yes.
Thumbs up from me. And then the Inner Circle came out. There was a bit of a brawl. And Cody booked him versus Hager for Fyter Fest.
Yes, which is next month. So like they've got quite a bit of time to build to this. And, you know, we're getting TNT Championship matches every week. I'll be honest, Hager to me feels more like TV than pay-per-view. But like I feel like MJF feels like that's the pay-per-view match. You know, him going for that TNT Championship. Well, I mean, I want to say pay-per-view, the big spectacle Fighter Fest episode of Dynamite that we're currently building to. Yeah, Hager doesn't really feel like the big time. I don't know why. Like it's still some of that WWE hang up that it just isn't quite working for me. It's the same way I didn't quite buy him as a challenger to Moxley's reign.
Well, there's also that there are people I would prefer for him to face, Cody to face. Also, I don't like the idea of Cody booking matches for the TNT title like even 2-3 weeks in advance. To me, because if I'm remembering correctly, it's not like he said, if I still have this, I will book a match at Fighter Fest, you'll get it, and I will make my damnedest to make sure I'm still champion.
No, he just said, I'll see you at Fighter Fest.
Yeah, so that to me just, I'm really into the idea of weekly title defenses, and I still think those are going to happen, but I think to say that what's his name, Hager, is just sort of undermines those a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd almost like it's, you know, if in the storyline world, it's TNT themselves that are booking the matches, like it's the TNT executives that are making the decision on who they want to see going for their TNT. I think that's quite a nice direction. As opposed to just, you know, whatever.
Or a ranking system. Who knows? Overall, I gave it a 3 out of 5, a middle of the roads, but a low 3 out of 5, really. A 2.5 out of 5. Still in that mid-range area. But look, I'm saying that based on AEW's incredibly high standards. I just thought this was a solid episode.
I can't believe those checks are starting to bounce, and now the real colors are showing. And they ain't green. I'd 3 out of 5 is what I'd have given it as well. I don't think I'd go on the low end of it because I love FTR too much. I thought this was a perfectly fine episode of Dynamite. But again, you know, like I said last week, I would show this to a new fan to be like, if you want to get back into wrestling, here's a really good show for you to watch. And like, and you know, to say to them, and this is kind of the low level of how good this show can be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, maybe that's more effective because then later they'd see that it's not like they're setting really high expectations right from the get-go. So let's get on with our super chats. Sam Wall writes, if travel wasn't restricted, I think B. Beasley would be Sheeta's next challenger.
I'd like to think so as well, but like B has been, you know, she's been under AEW's contract since, you know, virtually day one of the promotion being announced, and they've yet to do anything really with her like before the travel restrictions. So as much as I would like to think yes, I don't know if I could confidently say yes.
Abel Ortega, I think they are making the women's division where anyone can beat anyone at any time.
But that just flattens everyone out.
If that's what they're going for, it's not working. Colostopia, I think AEW were planning a Sheeta versus Britt Baker feud.
Absolutely they were. But, you know, those plans have now had to change. So you can formulate other plans. Like that, and that's what I find frustrating about this. It's, you know, it's when we were saying like, oh, it sucks that we're not doing anything with Uno and Grayson with the Dark Order. People were saying, well, they can't get out of Canada. I'm like, well, this video, like the Bubbly Bunch weren't all in the same room, but they were still putting stuff on TV. So like, yeah, I imagine they probably were going to do Sheeta versus Brit, but that plan can't happen. So you have to formulate a plan B. Like that's just the way the world works.
Sam Wall, I didn't realize Justin Roberts was back until Dasha was doing interviews backstage, and I wondered who's doing the ring announcing.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. Oh, welcome back, Justin. Valid Mamadibuddy, I still think they're also trying to put over Floyd the Bat for that eventual Sting arrival.
Did you see Meltzer's tweet about this? I'll tell you what, if you carry on, I'll find it for you.
Sawyer, if you want to hear some of Taz's best commentary, check out Moxley versus Robert Anthony on Dark. Masterfully put over Cage and Fighter Fest, non-stop, bell to bell, fun technical wrestling match too. Great. Yeah, that was on Tuesday's episode of Dark, a rare AEW title defense there.
Yeah.
Is it a title defense?
I think it was an appearance by the champion. I think it's why they were pushing it. Yeah.
Oh, so that, good recommendation.
That is a good recommendation. So yeah, Meltzer, someone tweeted Meltzer saying, any chance Jericho using this black wooden bat is teasing an angle with Sting? Meltzer replied, Sting is 61 years old and has stenosis of the neck. Let him be.
Ian Cage, Mox needs to be champ for a long time. AEW, definitely the best.
Mm, yeah, I can see a long, long run for Mox, yeah.
Dwayne Cooley, which few do you think could be the Rock Stone Cold of AEW? MJF versus Jungle Boy or Alan versus Sammy? I'm stuck with that. Or do you think another few could be the long-standing rivalry?
Yeah, maybe I could see it's Sammy versus Alan of those two.
Yeah, especially Alan really feels like a Stone Cold anti-hero kind of character. Mm. But Cody MJF, you know, That's another one. That's the exciting thing about AEW. There are so many potential ones like that. Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho.
There you go.
Axe Adapter. Personally, I'm not a fan of them announcing who it is ahead of time. Part of what made Cena's Open Challenge so great was that we didn't really know who it would be until they actually came out.
I wonder if they're going to stop doing that, actually. I mean, they haven't announced who it is next week. And last week, the plan was it for it to be Phoenix, but Phoenix got injured prior to Double or Nothing. So they changed it to Mark Quinn. And they changed all aspects of it throughout the show, with the exception of one bit of commentary by JR during last week's main event, where they said Rey Fénix is challenging next week. It's the one bit that slipped through. So I wonder now if they're not going to do too much of announcing ahead of time, apart from the Hager match, obviously.
I get that you won't have that surprise reveal every week, but I think I would sacrifice that in favor of a more realistic thing, which is Cody knowing who his opponent is, working with Arn to find that out, more like a real sport as opposed to you get a 30 second pop of realizing it's Joey Janela. You know, I think a better story is to have Cody preparing that for all week, and same with whoever his opponent is. Dwayne Cooley back again to ask, if Cody does retire in 5 years, as Tony Schiavone mentioned on commentary, who should his retirement match be against?
MJF.
Yeah, put him over. Or maybe if you go the other way, Dustin, and they both retire together.
Yeah, but I'm all about putting over that younger talent.
Yeah. Dylan from Cork again. I could see FTR versus Young Bucks being the main event of All Out. They've spoken about wanting to have the best tag team wrestling in the world. What better way to showcase it than closing the show?
And I mean, if that feud is going to be as hot as I think it could be, yeah, I could certainly see that. And like, if you've got that in front of that All Out crowd who are going to be clamoring to see that match, yeah, it probably should be the main event.
Oh, crowds. Hey, Martins, do you think Matt will be the world champ at any time?
I'm assuming that's Hardy. Yes. I personally don't know.
No, I don't see it either. Oblivious Carry. We're going to ignore that Brian Cage is roided out.
I mean, he's a big lad.
We don't know that for sure, but it's a suspiciously large physique. I'm impressed that anyone can look that way naturally. Miguel 8A, I love the tag name that Jimmy Kip have going. I want to see them build a feud with the Butcher and Blade because both teams are just playing cool.
It's the great thing about AEW's tag team division. Like, I mean, even, you know, names like Butcher and the Blade, it still makes me excited. Like, I still kind of get excited for their tag matches, even though they're not really one of the big teams.
Yeah. Mike Laver 9. Hey, guys, this is my first ever Super Chat.
Welcome.
Hey, I live in a small town in Ontario, Canada, and quarantine life has been very boring. So thanks for all the entertaining content. My question is, what do you think of the tag team of Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to see. You know, I'm not like massively into it at the moment. It'd be nice to see Sonny Kiss on TV a little bit more, though. So yeah, I'm interested to see.
Yeah. Justin Edel Heat, Orange Cassidy is your starter Pokemon, and Blood Orange Cassidy, Jake Hager, is what he evolves into.
Very nice.
Yeah. Jose Quinde, imagine Colt's podcast has joined Dark Order promos in the sponsorship reads.
I like that. That's really good.
Christopher Jazz Cat, I'm still not sold on Cody's matches. He isn't bad, but he isn't a top guy without a mic in his hand. It's good that he's building up young guys.
That's a shame, Jazz Cat, because I think Cody's really, really proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can have those. I mean, like, Double or Nothing last year. Like, I don't know how you could look at that and be like, nah, I still don't see him as a top guy.
Yeah.
On the subject of Wrestle Talk brackets, General Patel Ron 6. Follow Louis Dangor on Twitter and catch him on Fightful with SRS after Backlash. Justice for Louis. Seth Amphetamines. Luke, I watched all of Dave in 2 days and it was incredible. I almost cried on episode 9. Yes, that's the one, mate. I watched it from your recommendation. I'm glad you liked it. It's a brilliant show. It's so, so good. Still haven't seen it yet.
No, but it is on my list. You convinced me on that one.
Dartrain 24. My name is Hector, and my client is the reigning defender, undisputed Quizzlemania champion, Luke Owen. Thanks for all you do, guys. Thank you for watching, Dartrain.
Thank you.
Gabriel Caruso. If Lariat is your clothesline, run with that S word. If suplex and collar and elbow can be successful, I think Lariat can be also. Sponsor some wrestlers. Hashtag WrestleTalk. Hashtag Wrestle Entrepreneurs.
Wrestlepreneurs. That's what we are. Well, we can't do it without your help, Gabriel. But I'm glad you are. Well, I mean, we're all very much. We really like the idea of the sort of more sporty clothing line.
Here's certainly a question for you from Patel Ron 6. What hurts more, chops to the chest or the chest waxing?
Huh. The hardest chop I've ever had on skin was not overall as painful as the waxing. Because the waxing just, you know, it's a 3-day process.
It sustains.
Yeah. You can't wear clothes. It's too uncomfortable.
Michael Dominguez, shout out to Zoom presenter talking while I watch y'all.
Does that mean they're presenting something?
I think that's what, yeah, I think he is either presenting or someone is presenting and he's not really paying attention to them and he's watching us instead.
Well done.
And great chat to win on here from Jobber JJ. Who's Chinese? Not that shirt. It's Japanese. So it's a reference to yesterday's Quizzlemania where Adam Blompier put up the flag for China in like, who's this wrestler? Which is obviously the wrestler China. Pete didn't quite get it and just shouted, who's Chinese? I mean, for our listeners, it's been, you know, an hour and change. But do you now want to finish off the rest of the song?
Like father, stepfather.
The sun is drowning in the flood.
Yeah.
It's a perfect song.
So many movements to it. And there's a wrestling line in there. Wrestle with Jimmy. Something's my belly.
And my belly.
Oh, if anyone wants a bit of I know we've got this is meant to be a mailbag episode. But again, I've said it before, the Rentals. The Rentals have finally released their album. They're the project of, oh my God, I can't remember his name now, but he's the bassist from Weezer from the 90s. He left after Pinkerton. That's when they started to get crap, everybody. We only got 2 genuinely good Weezer albums.
Yeah, and every album since then has had like 1, maybe 2 really, really good songs in it, and then a load of pants and average nonsense.
Well, but so, you know, some incredible songs. Island in the Sun, Hashpipe, Pork and Beans, The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived, Austin Aries. But can't believe him. Matt Sharp, that's his name. He's the person responsible for the from Buddy Holly. All the falsetto bits, all the fun bits was his.
And the falsettos. Mm. So maybe we can all give that a listen to. That's Ollie's music recommendation of the week. I actually got called up, not called up a little bit, but taken a few people back yesterday on Quizzlemania with my knowledge of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes, you named all the members.
Well, it's quite easy to remember all the members because they list them in songs in a specific order. So as long as you know that, so the RZA, the Jizza, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, Raekwon, the Chef, You God, Ghostface Killah, and M.E.T.H.O.D. Man, then you're fine. You're ready to go.
I really like rap groups whose first few albums are mainly spent on introductions. The first ever rap song of all time, widely recognized by that terrific documentary series that Luke and I both love, Hip Hop Evolution, is the Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight.
Yeah.
And that is a song where people just tell you who they are.
I'm just going to pass the mic. Who are you? Hi, I'm the lady's choice. Right. Do you want to have some emails
from
our mailbag? support@wrestletalk.com. Easy, also easy to remember because you hear it at the start of this podcast every single time you bump it up. support@wrestletalk. Send us an email.
Yeah, well, should we have .com? .com. support@wrestletalk.com. Send us an email.
Nailed it. This comes in from Christopher, who says, Hi there, Luke. My name is Chris. I'm here in the state of Kentucky, to be exact. I'm writing to you this email to ask about how I can possibly become a better writer in regards to professional wrestling. I've written for a few sites before, but nothing I feel is on the same level as WrestleTalk, and I want to continue to grow and make myself better in the hopes of either you guys one day or someone else that's just as big. I've been a fan of yours and Ollie's since the early 2017 days. You guys have got me through some rough times. I want to say thank you for all you guys do. Hope this finds you well.
Oh, thanks for the kind words. Kentucky, that's Chuck E. T. City or town.
Yeah,
Kentucky
and or town.
Near Washington, I believe. Yeah. But Hamlet, a really big Hamlet in middle America. Yes, the simple answer, and I'm sorry to be boring because you've probably read this multiple times already, is write, keep writing and edit like a mother. Like, you can spend 3 hours writing something, that is not it done. You probably then need to do 6 hours of going back through it, cutting out bits. The shorter it is, the more concise and clearer it is, the better it'll be.
Indeed. Rob says, Dear Ollie, Luke, Laurie, Adam, Simon, Pete, Andy, Louie, and the whole WrestleTalk gang. Just wanted to drop you a message and say thank you for all you guys that you do. This last year of my life has been a challenging one following a breakdown of my marriage, having to move back in with my folks, and not being able to see my children every day. During this period, I've spent a lot of time hiking in the New Forest. Does walking count as exercise yet, Ollie?
No.
With your podcast to keep me company. You never fail to put a smile on my face, even on the more difficult days. I'm truly thankful. 12 months on, I'm now in my own place. I've written and released my band's debut EP, cheeky plug for Becoming Branches, and worked as an extra on 1917. So things are definitely looking up. I couldn't join you guys for the live Q&A last Monday, but thoroughly enjoyed catching up afterwards and wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for all you've done for me and so many others. Support WrestleTalk, support each other, and as always, jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Wow, you sound like you've turned it around. What a hot tag to yourself. You are that AEW match with Darby Allin when John Moxley was taken out and he just hot tags himself in.
Oh, match.
That was a great match. Terrific stuff. Imagine that, being on the set of 1917, such a huge period piece. I am actually on Becoming Branches. Becoming Branches is Spotify page.
Hit me up with some tracks. Like, name me those tracks.
Oh, well, you might be familiar with Under the Waves, their most played track. Or actually, no, Take You Home is the most played track. But it's at the bottom of the top five. Well, you can't hear this. I can in my heroes. Heroes. It's because they just... I read the word heroes. It's acoustic guitar. Female singer. I think... Are there some pictures? I can... Based in the New Forest in the south of England, Becoming Branches are a country folk pop trio blending acoustic sounds and soaring harmonies in an enchanting mix of creative and heartfelt originals. Winners of the 2019 Wimborne Folk Festival Live Award.
Hey, well done, you guys.
Jazz Robin Hannah. Look at that.
Well, Rob, that's the guy who emailed in.
Famous fans. Well, there you go. Everyone go and give him a listen.
Yes, absolutely. Great name as well. Like that as a name a lot. Have you seen yesterday's Quizzlemania at any point or listened to the podcast version?
I tuned in because I was really excited for Louis. Sad he got bumped, but, you know,
yeah.
He's at the bottom of the pecking order right now. He doesn't listen to this podcast. It's an AEW podcast.
Yeah.
I've seen various clips, but yet to watch the whole thing. What was your favorite bit?
Well, I particularly enjoyed doing Name That Jam when Adam would read out song lyrics, despite the fact that it was the most technically challenging one, because that was the where Chris Van Vliet dropped out twice and Pooh Bear dropped out once. But I'm pretty sure Pooh Bear did his on purpose to rib us all. So, do you want to have a try and guess at some of these?
Oh, yeah. How does David Starr, who had to go to his mum's store in a blackout in Philly, make that, like, no internet connectivity issues whatsoever, but these so-called, I guess they're just not really good at Twitter.
Yeah, they're really just not good at Twitter, but hold on.
Latest series of Queer Eye is in Philadelphia. We should submit David Starr to Queer Eye. They would lap that up with his mum and like how good he is.
Yeah, his moustache.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a lot of fun, actually. David Starr. We were watching Queer Eye last night. We've now finished the whole series. You're absolutely right. The fish guy was a wonderful story. Have you seen the Korean American doctor?
We're halfway through that now. They're too well adjusted for my liking. I said to when they showed their lovely relationship with their beautiful daughter, she's just about to become a doctor. She's already very pretty. I turned to Anna and I said, "Well, this isn't going to be a classic episode." I want a redneck guy with like a red face and a big bushy beard, and his home is hoarded loads of stuff. That's the transformation story I want.
I think she does go through quite the transformation, though. I think it's a really lovely. Like, have you seen the bit with her?
It's literally a she's all that transformation. They put down her hair. They take off her glasses. 90s high school movies have warped your perception of what a true transformation is.
She does look different, though. Like, at the end of it,
she put her hair down.
Yeah, we're talking about this now, but I thought it was wonderful, and it did bring a tear to my eye. It's a beautiful door. Anyway, so do you want to have a try up with some of these Name That Jams?
Yes.
So here's the lyric to a song. Nice guys, it's always said they finish last, but bad asses always kicking a-hole's ass.
Oh man, this is tough. Is this like a verse lyric?
It is, yes. In fact, I'll give you some hints. It's actually the end of a verse.
Oh my God.
And I think it's in that Jim Johnston era of like where the second verse is never heard because the entrances are much shorter. So he tried half as much.
Whose gimmick does that fit? Obviously Billy Gunn, but it's not going to be his. I don't know. I haven't got the foggiest.
It is, of course, the American Badass, The Undertaker.
Really?
It was his "You Done It Now and Gone and Made a Big Mistake" song. How about this one? "Step up, because you're the next one in line for the kill. You don't believe me, but I'm betting that you will."
Step up, because you're the next one in line for the kill. This is really tough. I'm glad I wasn't on last night's show. Because I that would really puncture my my status as knowing everything from Quizzlemania.
Pete is coming for you. He's now 0-4.
Your Wrestle Talk News team, everybody. Pete and Ollie. Who's got a killing gimmick? Some belief. I don't know. Dolph Ziggler.
Dude, it's the Disturbed version of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Is it?
Step up, because I'm the next one and never to kill. You don't believe me, but I'm betting that you will. Step up. I got it from the first two bits. Yeah. Let's do this last one. Let's not do that one. Where's the one I actually wanted? Fallen idols scream yesterday. Your kings and queens hit the ground like rain.
Doesn't even rhyme. Fallen iron. Is there a clue in this to their sort of gimmick?
No, I wouldn't say so.
So it's purely knowledge. I don't know that one either then. King Corbin?
No, it's of course Asuka.
Yesterday she's the Empress of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So that does play into the gimmick.
Oh, yeah. I suppose there is a bit of a... Sorry, that's my bad. But anyway, I think we have to... I did really want to read out another email as well, but I got so wrapped up in playing that game. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to this podcast. If you've enjoyed it, you might enjoy what we also have to say on social medias. He's at Ollie Davis. I'm at This Is Luke Owen. It's at WrestleTalk_TV for all the latest good WrestleTalk stuff. We're on Instagram as well, WrestleTalk.official. Thank you all so much for listening. Check out the NXT podcast that's going up with Adam and Laurie, the new NXT tag team. And we will see you. Oh, I mean, Pete and Andy will see you on Saturday. And I'm on the magazine show tomorrow. There's loads of podcasts. Take
care. Backlash.
Oh, and the Backlash review as well. There might be a 3-man booth for Backlash. Anyway, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.